理课堂听 class.com
Disc 2
How do you slow this thing down? How do you make this thing slow down?
Chapter 4 That night was a dark day. Of course, all nights are dark days, because night is simply a badly lit version of day, due to the fact that the Earth travels around and around the sun, reminding everyone that it is time to get out of bed and start the day with a cup of coffee or a secret message folded up into a paper airplane that can sail out the barred window of a ranger station. But in this case, the phrase a dark day means a sad time in the history of the Baudelaire children, VFD, and all kind, brave, and well-read people in the world. But Violet and Klaus Baudelaire, of course, had no idea of the catastrophe occurring high above them in the Valley of Four Drafts. All they knew was that they were hearing a voice they had hoped never to hear again.
"Go away, cake sniffers," the voice said. "This is a private cave."
"Who are you talking to, Carmelita?" asked another voice.
This voice was much louder and sounded like it belonged to a grown man.
"I can see two shadows in the entrance of the cave, Uncle Bruce," said the first voice, "and to me they look like cake sniffers."
The back of the cave echoed with giggling, and Violet and Klaus looked at one another in dismay. The familiar voice belonged to Carmelita Spatz, the nasty little girl whom the Baudelaires had encountered at Prufrock Preparatory School. Carmelita had taken an instant disliking to the three siblings, calling them unpleasant names and generally making life miserable at the academy. If you have ever been a student, then you know that there is usually one such person at every school, and that once you have graduated, you hope never to see them again. The two elder Baudelaires had enough troubles in the Mortmain Mountains without running into this unpleasant person, and at the sound of her voice, they almost turned around and took their chances once more with the snow gnats swarming outside.
"Two shadows?" asked the second voice. "Identify yourselves, please."
"We're mountain travellers," Violet called from the entrance. "We lost our way and ran into a swarm of snow gnats. Please let us rest here for a moment while the smell of smoke scares them away, and then we'll be on our way."
"Absolutely not," replied Carmelita,
who sounded even nastier than usual.
"This is where the Snow Scouts are camping, on their way to celebrate False Spring and crown me queen. We don't want any cake sniffers spoiling our fun."
"Now, now, Carmelita," said the voice of the grown man. "Snow Scouts are supposed to be accommodating, remember? It's part of the Snow Scout alphabet pledge, and it would be very accommodating of us to offer these strangers the shelter of our cave."
"I don't want to be accommodating,"
Carmelita said.
"I'm the False Spring Queen, so I get to do whatever I want."
"You're not the False Spring Queen yet, Carmelita," came the patient voice of a young boy. "Not until we dance around the spring pole. Do come in, travellers, and sit by the fire. We're happy to accommodate you."
"That's the spirit, kid," said the voice of the grown man. "Come on, Snow Scouts. Let's all say the Snow Scout alphabet pledge together."
Instantly the cave echoed with the sound of many voices speaking in perfect unison, a phrase which here means reciting a list of very odd words at the very same time.
"Snow Scouts," recited the Snow Scouts, "are accommodating, basic, calm, darling, emblematic, frisky, grinning, human, innocent, jumping, kept, limited, meek, nap-loving, official, pretty, quarantined, recent, scheduled, tidy, understandable, victorious, wholesome, xylophone, young, and zippered, every morning, every afternoon, every night, and all day long.